We're going to continue our series on current events and current trends. And so tonight we're going to look at unforgiveness and examine this topic and this theme as we've been going through over the last few weeks. So let's make sure we have our Bibles. Hopefully you have a handout. If you don't, that's fine. But let's go through as we have with a few statistics. So if we can go to the next slide, Brian. And this is these are according to a study by Lifeway Research. Here's what they said. Now, 60% of Christians say that there's someone they regularly struggle with forgiving. And frankly, probably a lot of us could say that there's some people that we struggle with forgiving. Hopefully, you don't live with that person, okay? But a lot of us could say that there are some people that we struggle with forgiving. If we can go to the next slide, 23% of Christians, okay, so nearly one in four, 23% of Christians say there's someone that they can't or won't forgive. So nearly one in four people say that there's someone that they will not forgive. These are for Christians, okay, the statistics. So if we took however many people are up here, okay, we divided that by four, that means several of you are not forgiving people. Shame on you, okay? Now, if we can go to the next slide, Brian, 18%. This is an interesting statistic, and one we'll go back to in a bit. People that believe that one goes to heaven based on his or her good deeds are 18% less likely to forgive than those that believe in salvation by faith alone. Here's what that means. That if you believe that you go to heaven by how good you are, then you are less likely to forgive than people that believe that you're saved by faith, as our church would. Okay. Now you say, okay, preacher, I understand forgiveness is an issue, and certainly we need to forgive, but how is it a current trend? How is it a current event? Well, I will say in summary, and you've probably heard the term, cancel culture. How many of you have heard of that term? Okay. Now, cancel culture in summary is this, that if you did something wrong in the past and it comes up, then you can just be canceled and be fired from your job or be removed from whatever or anything like that. Obviously, a world, while claiming to be very forgiving, is not forgiving. And people have lost their jobs over things that they did 30, 40 years ago. Some of them were truly heinous, but some of them are mistakes in the past that they've learned from and moved forward with. Of course, we as Christians are held to a higher standard, and that's to forgive. So let's examine a bit what forgiving is. First off, let's look at the meaning of forgiveness. What is forgiveness? Let's talk amongst ourselves a little bit. How would you define forgiveness? We'll write a few of them up here. How would you define forgiveness? Tell somebody next to you, or somebody around you, or just think and tell me in just a second. How would you define forgiveness? What's the meaning of forgiveness? Go. Preferably without looking in the notes. Yeah.
Whatever it was, don't matter.
Okay, good. Whatever it was, I'll use your grammar. Don't matter. Don't matter. All right, there you go, buddy. But what else do we have? What's the definition of forgiveness? How would you define it? Talk to me, folks.
Giving the hurt to the Lord.
Okay, sure. Giving her to the Lord. Good. What else? Talk to me. Throw stuff out. It's going to be a really long service if everyone's really slow on it.
No need for retribution.
Okay. No need for retribution.
Or revenge.
Yep. / revenge. Okay. Ret or rev. Okay. Good. What else do we have? Any other definitions? These are good. Anyone else? Yeah.
No hard feelings towards the person that wronged you.
Good. No hard feelings. Okay. Anyone else? I don't want to cut anybody off. No? All right. Let's look at this. We'll break it down a little bit and examine forgiveness. First off, what forgiveness is not. And of course, we're doing this biblically. Let's do this. Let's have some people look up verses if we can. what forgiveness is not. Number one, forgiveness is not forgetting. Jeremiah 31 and verse number 34. Jeremiah 31, 34. Who wants to look that? David, if you can. Jeremiah 31, 34. Amos 8, 7. Who can look that up? Amos 8, 7. Talk to me, folks. Okay, good. Good. Stephen, if you can look that up. Amos 8, 7. Can someone look up 1 John 3, 20? Anybody? Okay, Robbie. 1 John 3, 20. Revelation 6, 10. Revelation 6, 10. Nathan? Sure. Proverbs 22, 24, and 25. Who wants to look that up? Anybody? Good. Go ahead, Dan. Thank you for volunteering before our own church people, I tell you. Okay, good. And Matthew 18, 22. Who wants to do that one? Matthew 18, 22. Malcolm, thanks for volunteering. I pressured you into it, brother. All right, good. What it's not. Number one, it's not forgetting. Who had Jeremiah 31, 34? David, go ahead and read it, brother.
And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more.
Good. Now, some of you might be thinking, wait a second, preacher. If God's forgetting their iniquity and not remembering their sin anymore, well, then forgiveness is forgetting, right? No. Well, let me ask you, does God ever forget anything?
No.
No. Okay? So it's not like God all of a sudden has, you know, spiritual dementia or something up there. No, God doesn't forget anything. What's he doing? He's choosing not to remember. He's choosing not to bring it up. Here's the reality. I was talking to somebody the other day and talking about some hurts that they had gone through and stuff. They said, well, preacher, I still kind of struggle with forgiving, you know, and I shouldn't struggle with that. Whenever I go past this person, I see that person or do this thing, then I struggle with it. Can I tell you, you're never going to perfectly and completely forget it, but you can choose to not bring it up. Does that make sense? You may never be able to forget what happened to you, but you certainly can choose not to bring it up. Amos 8, 7. Who had that one? Good. See?
The Lord hath sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works.
Good. So God said that he would never forget, but Jeremiah 31, 34 said he'd remember no more. So God doesn't forget, but God certainly does choose not to bring it up. Number one, forgiveness is not forgetting. Sometimes we say forgive and forget, and if you're defining forgiveness as forgetting, sometimes you're like, well, I can't forgive because I can't forget. No, 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 that's not forgiveness. Number one, forgiveness is not forgetting. Number two, forgiveness is not a feeling. 1 John 3:20, who had that one? Go ahead, Robbie.
For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things.
Good. So what's this verse saying? This verse is saying sometimes we don't feel like doing certain things, right? Do you not agree with that? How do you felt like going to church tonight? None of you? Thank you. I appreciate that. That's encouraging. A few of us, maybe. But, you know, you get off of work, right? You're kind of tired. You just want to sit down. You want to put your feet up in your recliner or whatever. Whatever it is, you don't really feel like it, but you know you still ought to. Sometimes people say, well, I can't forgive because I don't feel like forgiving. Can I tell you, friends, that's not an excuse about why to not forgive, right? It doesn't matter how you feel. No one ever feels like forgiving. We're still commanded to forgive. Jesus didn't feel like dying on the cross for us, but yet he still did, right? He prayed to the Father, Father, if it be possible, remove this. But yet he still did it, okay? Number one, it's not forgetting. Number two, it's not a feeling. Number three, it's not forsaking justice. Revelation 6 and 10. Who had that one? Nathan, go ahead, bro.
And they cry with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?
Good. These are people up in heaven, right? People up in heaven that have been martyred, and they call to Jesus, and they say, Jesus, how long will you not judge and avenge our blood on the earth? They're literally in heaven, right? Perfect in heaven, yes? Mm-hmm. Going and saying to the Lord, Lord, how long will you wait from punishing all the people on the earth? So clearly, forgiving is not forsaking justice, okay? For example, if someone goes and they break the law and they commit some kind of crime or something like that, well, certainly, then you should pursue the punishment for that crime, right? If someone came in and murdered somebody, then certainly you better believe we're going to pursue the justice for that crime. That is proper justice, right? Okay? It's not, oh, well, forget, it's okay. No, 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 that's not forgiveness either. So it's not a forgetting, it's not a feeling. Number three, it's not forsaking justice. Number four, it's not putting up with abuse. Proverbs 22, verse 24 and 25. Who had that one? Go ahead, Daniel.
Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul.
Good. So what's this passage saying? It's saying nice and simply, hey, we shouldn't put up with certain behaviors or certain actions or certain things like that because they can be destructive. Okay? If someone is destructive to your life and to your soul and to your spirit, then you shouldn't put up with that. That's not, oh, well, I forgive, so I'm just going to keep putting up with that. No, that behavior is improper, and it will damage who you are. Number five, what is forgiveness not? Forgiveness is not a one-time decision. And this is very, very important. Okay? So let's, Matthew 18, 22. Malcolm, you had this one. Read it out nice and clear. We're going to be in Matthew 18 in just a second, but go ahead.
Unto him, I say not unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times 7.
Good. This is Peter, of course, and Peter asks, how many times should I forgive my brother if he sins against me? Right? Specifically, within one day. And he says, until 7 times? He thinks he's really, really stepping it up, because Pharisees would only do 4 times within a given day. So he's like, I'll do 7 times. I'll do even better than the Pharisees. And Jesus says, no, 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 not until 7 times, but into 70 times 7. What's Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, you're not counting out the times. What's he saying? He's saying forgiveness is not a one-time decision. Forgiveness is a constant way of life. It's a practice. Does that make sense? So forgiveness is not, oh, I made this decision and now I can move on. No, because what's going to happen? It will come back. Right? The hurt will be remembered. Those of you that have been hurt, right? The hurt comes back, does it not? And just because you forgave at one point does not mean that you are forgiving right now. Right? There may have been a point where you said, okay, I forgive this person for what they did. They hurt me, but I forgive them. But that does not mean that right now you are still forgiving them. You may have taken that hurt right back. So, what forgiveness is not? Now, number two, let's look at what forgiveness is. First off, let's look up these passages if we can. Ephesians 4, verse 31 and 32. Let's all flip there. Ephesians 4, verse 31 and 32. What is forgiveness? First off, forgiveness is a choice to put away hurt. It's a decision to go and whatever hurt was there, to put it away. Look at Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Now let's see where we get this, okay? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, all of those words in verse 31 are all describing reactionary attitudes, right? Bitterness, we know what bitterness is. If you're bitter, you're hurt towards someone. Verse 31, wrath. Wrath is an anger that's illustrated, something that pours out. Okay, anger is more an internal. Clamor is kind of complaining about what someone does. Evil speaking is speaking against somebody, kind of rumoring and gossiping about that person. Be put away from you with all malice. Malice is actually physical intent harm. So be put away from you with all malice, verse 32, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is a choice to put away hurt and the reaction to that hurt and to instead react like Christ did. Number one, it's a choice to put away hurt. Number two, what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is a choice to put on love. Let's flip over just a few pages to Colossians, chapter number 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, chapter number 3, and verse number 12. Colossians 3, verse number 12. Put on, therefore, is what it says. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. What are those words? Mercy, of course, is not giving punishment that's deserved. Kindness, speaking kind, of course, we know what that is. Humbleness of mind, putting yourself down and lifting others up. Meekness is reacting in a controlled manner. Long-suffering is putting up with behavior that shouldn't exist. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So number one, it's a choice to put away hurt, put away all these things. Number two, it's a choice to put on love. Just like Christ forgave, we should forgive. And these words here in Colossians are very different than the words in Ephesians, because Ephesians is focused more from the negative side, anger, wrath, clamor, evil speaking. Here in Colossians, it's talking about the positive side. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. We should be have bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering, etc. So what's the idea? We take the hurt, we put that away, and we put on the love of Christ for that person that hurt us. That's what forgiveness is. If you try, by the way, can I say both are necessary? Because if you try to put off the hurt without putting on love, the hurt just comes right back. Right? So we have to put off the hurt, but we have to put on love. Love that person in spite of that person. And then number three, what is forgiveness? Number three is a choice to show, to illustrate this change. Now, Romans 12 talks a lot about this. Let me just summarize Romans 12 real quick for you, because we got a lot of passages we have to look into, and we're running out of time quickly, okay? Romans 12, here's what it says in verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Dear beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, a lot of times we think of heaping coals of fire on his head as some kind of punishment. That's really not the description there. How many of you have ever tried to light a fire without, like, a match, without a lighter? You've ever tried to light a fire in some other way, okay? You might have done it with, like, a ferro rod or something like that. Has anyone ever tried to light a fire with, like, just friction? You just tried to light a fire by yourself. How many of you, has anyone been successful at doing that? Have you really? Okay, afterwards, he's going to teach me how to do it, okay? So, I've tried, I failed, okay? It's bad. Okay, obviously, back in Bible times, they didn't have lighters like we have. They don't have a lot of the things that we have today. And what they would do is they would actually try to keep their fires alive. They would try to bed their fires, which means you kind of keep the fire and you kind of keep it so it's kind of smoldering so you can put more wood on it and then it'll start to burn again. If the fire went out, it was a big deal because you can't heat the house that way. You can't feed your food. You can't feed yourself. You can't cook food. You can't do a lot of things. So what they would do oftentimes is they would go to a neighbor and they'd say, hey, you have a little bit of fire. Can I get some of your coals to start a new fire? Right? What's being said here? It's not being said, oh, then you'll burn their heads. No, the idea is, hey, then you can provide for them what they really need. You see, forgiveness is more than just putting away hurt. Forgiveness is more than just having love internally. Forgiveness is showing that love externally. You with me? To illustrate that love for somebody. Now, I understand that sometimes that's a difficult situation. You with me here? I get that. Obviously, like we said before, it's not just forgetting everything. And certainly in certain cases, that's not even possible because of the type of hurt that occurred, okay? If someone was abused in some way or something like that, I don't suggest that they go to their abuser. But I think there does need to show and illustrate the love of Christ to people that are hurt. You know with me? That's forgiveness. Do we understand what forgiveness is? Yes? Number one, the meaning of forgiveness. Number two, let's look at it briefly. Number two, I'm going to try and go faster on this one. Number two, the theology of forgiveness. Real briefly, let me just summarize, okay? And you have your handout, so let me go quickly. First off, God forgives us. And then number two, we forgive others. So the theology of forgiveness is very simple. It's the fact that since we have been forgiven of all the things that we've been forgiven of, then we ought be forgiving people. And if you're not a forgiving person, then that means you don't understand how much God's forgiven you. Let's consider this if we can. First off, our sinful state. You know all the verses. I could give you a lot. Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, we're all sinners, and we've all sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 5:8, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:10, while we were enemies, he reconciled us together to himself. And I could give you hundreds of verses illustrating that. But suffice it to say, and catch this, don't miss this, especially if you struggle with forgiving. The reality is, God didn't save you because of who you were. God saved you in spite of who you were.
Amen.
God saved us in spite of who we are. And if that's the case, then we should forgive people in spite of what they're doing. I've heard people say before in counseling and things like that, oh, well, I'll forgive them when they deserve to be forgiven. Can I tell you? If that's the case, then you don't understand forgiveness. Because if you forgive them when they deserve to be forgiven, then you're in your mindset, what if God did that to you? Right? We would never deserve to be forgiven. We still don't deserve to be forgiven. Our sinful state, number one. Number two, salvation's forgiveness. Romans 5, verses 8 to 10. We're justified. We're saved. We're reconciled. And so many different terms. We've looked through some of these on our Sunday night series, the last Sunday night series. But suffice it to say, salvation forgiveness is full and complete. It's not conditional. It's not something that's, oh, well, I'll forgive some of this, but you better straighten up. No, no, no. We are completely reconciled. We're completely justified. We are completely glorified. We are saved. Salvation forgiveness, our sinful state. Number three, sanctification forgiveness. Christ completely offers forgiveness, both when we get saved, but number two, when we mess up, even though we are saved. So God is always giving us forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you have messed up, guess what? God will forgive you. And tomorrow when you mess up again, because frankly, we do it a lot, right? He'll forgive you again. And again, and again, and again, and again, and again. God's forgiveness for us. Number two, because of God's forgiveness to us, the theology, the study of forgiveness, our forgiveness to others. We just looked at Ephesians 4:32, but all of these passages, Ephesians 4:32 and Colossians 3:13, very clearly tie our forgiveness to others to our understanding of God's forgiveness to us. Does it not? Ephesians 4:32, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, catch the last phrase, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you, right? We forgive others. Why? Because he forgave us, right? Colossians 3, the exact same idea. So, how should this forgiveness be? If we are to forgive like Christ forgave us, then let's examine how Christ forgave us, and that'll help us understand how we should forgive others. So, again, I leave it to you. Talk it out. How does Christ forgive us? And then by that, how then should we forgive others? So look at your handouts, okay? You just think through. You have good ideas too, okay? If we're to forgive like Christ forgave us, then how should we forgive other people? Talk it through. Give me some ideas.
He's the example.
He's the example, sure. So what kind of example did he give? When he forgave us, what were some of the characteristics, I guess you could say, of his forgiveness?
Fully,
sure. What else? Talk to me, folks. How else did Christ forgive us? Yeah, it was sacrificial, right? What else?
Unconditional.
It was unconditional. Sure. What else?
It was intentional.
It was intentional. The lamb slain before the foundation of the world, right?
Eternal.
It was eternal. Good. He didn't pull it back later. Sure. What other ideas? How should we forgive because of how he forgave? Any other ideas? I'll give you mine, okay? Let's go through these real quick. Number one, it was proactive. Here's what I mean by proactive. I'm not talking about the face cream for teens, okay? It's proactive. Here's what it means. That he did it before we requested it. You with me? He offered forgiveness before we ever even wanted to be forgiven. Would you not agree with that? While we were yet sinners, we just read what? Christ died for us. Okay? So he forgave and he reconciled us before we ever even sought him. Matthew chapter number 5. Let me read this for you. Matthew chapter number 5, just for sake of time, because I want to have plenty of time for the prayer afterwards. Matthew chapter number 5, if you can, and verse number 23 and 24. Let me read this for you. Matthew 5, 23. It's talking about how we should forgive others. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and thou rememberest thy brother have aught against thee, leave thy gift before the altar. Go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. What's the principle? Okay, let's just say we're passing the offering plate. Okay, pass the offering plate Sunday morning. It's passing down. It's going all the way down, right? Our idea of the offering. And let's say the offering comes to, let's say, Steve here. The offering comes along to Steve. Steve remembers that he forgot to forgive somebody. Okay? Right? You with me so far? Yeah? What's the passage say? That Steve should, before he even gives his tithe to the Lord, should go find that person, ask for forgiveness for that person. Right? Be proactive about it. Do you see it? Look at it again. Matthew 5. Look at it. Matthew 5. If you have your Bible open to it. Matthew 5, verse 23. Did I bring thy gift to thy altar, and thou rememberest that thy brother have ought against thee? Wait a second. Is that what I just illustrated? Yes or no? No. The illustration is not that Steve offended somebody. What's the illustration? That somebody was offended by Steve. You with me? The principle is not necessarily that he's the one that's holding the forgiveness. No. The principle is, well, maybe this person is holding unforgiveness toward me. It's proactive. Here's the principle. Can I say it this way? Our forgiveness should not be contingent on them asking for it. Right? Our forgiveness should be full and complete on, well, maybe that person, you know, whatever. We forgive. Why? Because that's how Christ forgave us. Number one, it's proactive. Number two, real quickly, I got to hurry. Number two, it's deliberate. Ephesians 4:32, be ye, command. Colossians 3 and verse number 13, do ye, again, a command. Nice and simply, our forgiveness is a deliberate choice, a continuous choice, but a deliberate choice to forgive. Number three, it's illustrated. Ephesians 4:32, even as God, for Christ's sake, forgiven us. Colossians 3, verse number 13, as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So, what is the illustration? First off, how did Christ do it? It's illustrated. We mentioned some of the things up here. Number one, Christ deleted our debt. We're justified. Christ renewed the relationship. We were enemies, but we're now reconciled. Forgiveness is continued even into the future. We have joy in God, wherein we also receive the atonement. And we already talked about 1 John 1:9, that he cleanses us from all sins. Okay? Theology of forgiveness. You say, okay, preacher, I understand all this. I get all those things. I understand what forgiveness is. I grasp the meaning. I understand the theology. Yes, Christ forgave me. I get all that stuff. But preacher, I still struggle with forgiving. If you're being honest, you probably have had something in the past, some hurt, some struggle, where you still struggle with forgiving. Is that not true? We do. We have things that come up, people that have hurt us. You say, preacher, I still struggle with forgiving. Number three, if we can. Obstacles of forgiveness. First off, a consistent sin. Matthew 18, verse 21 and 22. Let's all turn there if we can. Matthew 18, verse 21 and 22. We're talking about some obstacles to forgiveness. Things that people often say, well, I can't forgive because of this. Matthew 18, verse 21 and 22. Matthew 18, 21, here's what it says while the rest of you are finishing up turning. Then came Peter to him, to Jesus, and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times. Jesus saith unto him, by the way, in a parallel passage, it says, in a day. I believe that's in Luke. I could be wrong on that. Verse 22. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. What's the principle here? The principle is that we keep forgiving even if it's consistent. Even if the person sins in the same way 490 times in a given day. Okay? How often is that? That means, let's see, there's 24 hours in a day, right? So there's 24 hours in a day. So if you take 490 divided by 24, what do we get for all you math nerds? Yeah. An hour. So we're looking at roughly 20 times per hour. You know what that means? Let's be nice and simple. Let's just say, okay, Brian out back, he's got this nice Dodge Ram, and I like his Ram and all this stuff, right? Brian, let's just say that I pull my van out here, and I'm pulling up the van. Back up, turn in, put it into gear, and I run into his Dodge Ram. Right? Boom, bang right into it. Okay? And I'm like, oh, Brian, I'm sorry, brother. I ran into your new Dodge Ram. I'm so sorry, man. I'm so sorry. And then I go and I put it into gear, and boom, ran into it again. Oh, Brian, I'm so sorry, man. I ran into it again. And I'm sorry. And then I do it again. And again. And again. 20 times in an hour, 20 times within this last hour, I've smashed into Brian's truck. You with me? Some of you guys would be like, okay, enough's enough, right? You with me? Yeah, that's nuts. Preacher, that's insane. That's our forgiveness. That's what Jesus said. You with me? 20 times an hour, constant, all day long. The same hurt, he still forgives. So don't tell me, oh, well, they hurt me too much. They did too many things. Oh, well, they're just consistent about it and they don't care about it. No. This is Jesus talking. 490 times in a given day, you should still forgive. Consistent. Can I tell you, no matter how consistent they are in their hurt, we should still forgive. Now, again, like I said before, that doesn't mean necessarily that we should put up with it. That doesn't mean necessarily that we should keep parking the car in the same spot. Right, Brian? It doesn't mean those things. But what it certainly does mean is we still forgive and we still love. By the way, Brian, I'm going to test this after the service, okay? Consistent sin. Our sins against God are enormous. Look at the parable. Matthew 18, verse number 24. Jesus gives this amazing parable. Look at it, verse number 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. A talent is the largest weight of measure in the Greek world. Literally, this measure, considered gold by most people, would be approximately $1.14 million. So a guy owes the king $1.14 million. Okay? Which owed him 10,000 talents. $1.14 million. But for as much as he had not to pay, you think? His Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife, his children, all that he had, payment to be made, because it was his right. Okay, he would be sold into indentured slavery to pay off that debt. Verse 26. The servant therefore fell down, worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me. I will pay thee all. Can I tell you? He ain't paying it all. You with me? I'm not going to pay $1.14 million back, especially as a hired laborer. Okay? That would take forever. Then the Lord of the servant, verse 27, was moved with compassion, loosed him, forgave him the debt. You get what this servant is, right? It's all of us. Right? We owe God a huge debt. Am I making sense? Think of how many times you sinned today. Multiply that by how many years you've been alive. You with me? Most of us, it was a lot more before we got saved. We have got a huge debt, but yet we hold on to this one thing that someone said, or this one thing that someone did, or this one activity that occurred. We grab onto that. Huge debt. Number two, look at verse 28. The same servant went out, found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. Now, pence was a day's wage. 100 pence would be a pretty substantial amount, roughly according to wages and things, roughly about $16,400, okay? If you consider a day's wage, multiply that by 100 days, okay? So a substantial amount, right? 16,000 bucks, it's nothing to shy at, okay? We could almost buy Brian's truck with that, okay? But a substantial amount. But other sin against us is nothing compared to our sin against God. Verse number 28. He owed him 100 pence. He laid his hands on him, took him by the throat, and said, "Pay me that thou owest." His fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, catch it, he says the exact same thing that he said, that this same servant had just said to the king in verse 26. "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." Literally, word for word. "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." And he, catch it, what's the next two words? Verse number 30. And he, what's the next two words? Would not. But went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Can I tell you, friends, that's what we do. We go and we build up this sin against God, and God forgives us fully and freely. But yet we take a hurt, and it might be substantial to us, but it's nothing compared to our view for God. We take that hurt and we hold it over that person so much that we refuse to forgive them. Now consider, if you will. Let's just take a time out here. Consider. Is $16,000 a big debt? Yeah. But if I owed you $16,000, would you be concerned that I wouldn't pay you back? Yeah, probably. Okay. Okay. Yeah, sure. But when you look at how much we've already been forgiven, it's nothing. Right? So forgiveness, one, is a perspective problem, isn't it? Would you not agree with that? It's lifting up the hurt, the debt that someone else should have given to us, but not considering the debt that we owed to God. Right? Number one, it was a consistent sin. Oh, consistent sin. I can't forgive their preacher. They've done it so much. They did this so often. I can't forgive that. Consistent sin. Number two, a consistent struggle. No, preacher, it's hard for me to forgive. It's difficult. Can I tell you, it's hard for everybody to forgive. No, it's not easy for anybody. As we looked at 1 John 3:20, if our heart condemns us, then God's greater than our heart and knows all things. Can I tell you, God knows who you are, and God knows that you struggle forgiving. We should still continue to forgive. Matthew 18:22, tell 70 times 7. Finally, it's a consistent hurt. We say, oh, well, preacher, you know, they not only have they sinned multiple times against us, but, you know, this hurt is still there and I can't let go of the hurt. Can I tell you, the hurt may never leave, but you still forgive. Why? Because every bit of hurt that we get from somebody is nothing compared to the hurt Christ went through for us. It's nothing compared to the hurt Christ went through for us. We have people in our church, not all of them are here this morning, or tonight, obviously. But we have people in our church that have been through huge trials, huge difficulties. I would never want to diminish any of the trials that anyone's gone through. Okay? I've been through trials myself. Everyone goes through trials, but I'm not walking in your shoes, and you're not walking in mine. I wouldn't want to diminish anyone's trials, but what I can say with 100% certainty, and if I could go a higher percentage, I would, is it's nothing. Your hurt is nothing compared to Christ. Nothing compared to Christ. Nothing. Everything he went through on the cross of Calvary as the perfect Son of God that deserved no punishment, that deserved everything perfectly in his life. Yet came, humbled himself, became a servant beyond that, came and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, a step even below just normal death, the most gruesome death probably ever created. He did that for you, friend. So don't say the hurt is too much for you to forgive. No, no, no. The hurt's not too much for you to forgive. It's a perspective issue. You're focusing on the hurt and you're not focusing on what Christ did for you. Can I say, we as Christians, we need to be forgiving people. We need to love people. We need to care for people. We need to lift people up. We need to help people that are struggling. We need to forgive the hurts that have happened. But what I've seen a lot over the years of ministry I've been in it, is I've seen a lot of people that go, and because of the hurt, they're not forgiving people. They're bitter people. They're callous people. They hold every hurt over people. Friends, that is not what we should be as children of God. You go with me? Let's all be forgivers. Let's love and care. Why? Not because of what's in us, but because of who's in us. Christ, the Savior, the one that loved and forgave us. I encourage you, if you're struggling with forgiveness, consider some of these things. I was talking to somebody about it this last week. Here's what I told them. Number one, practical steps. Number one, stop bringing up the hurt. Number two, when the hurt comes up, start thinking about Jesus. Whenever the hurt shows up, whenever that thought comes, whenever that person comes up in conversation, whenever that tinge of bitterness shows up in your heart, start thinking about what Christ forgave you. Can I tell you, bitterness cannot live in that environment. It can't. A forgiving heart is one that forgives because of what Christ did. Stop bringing up the hurt, and number two, start bringing up Jesus. And that'll give you victory. Let's do this if we can. Let's break up into groups and pray. I know it's late. If we can get just a couple people from each group to pray. Those of you that are guests, you don't know which group to be in. Generally, we just go in sections, okay? So we'll just kind of go in sections there. We'll pray real briefly for these prayer requests. But of course, it is a prayer time, but felt it appropriate to spend a little bit extra time here today talking about this stuff. Okay, after that, of course, you're forgiven.
Forgiven.
Yeah.
You are forgiven. Okay, no. You're all dismissed, of course. Thank you all for being here. And let's continue. One more thing. Let's remember to keep praying for all these prayer requests all this upcoming week. Okay? All right, let's break up into groups and pray for these. Okay? Then we're dismissed.